Welcome to the Unteachables podcast. I'm your host, Claire, and I am absolutely no stranger to the challenges and, let's face it, sometimes carnage of being a teacher. And if you found yourself here listening with me, I'd say that you might know a bit about that as well, because being a teacher is friggin' hard. And this podcast is dedicated to making you feel a hell of a lot less alone whilst giving you the knowledge, support, and strategies that you need to not just survive the chaos of being a teacher, but truly thrive. Think about it as getting a weekly dose of relatable, actionable, and most importantly, enjoyable professional learning straight into your ears. So hit the subscribe button, download me for your commute, and let's get into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another week of the Unteachables podcast. It's the end of the year. We're closing in. We're December the 5th. By the time you listen to this, we've got a couple of weeks left, and I'm particularly excited because once that December the 22nd hit, there's a lot of trepidation as well, but I'm really excited. Finishing up at school, starting the packing process, and then I'm out of London and we're going on our big adventure and all the rest of it. But until I get to that point, and until all of us get to that point, there's this big barrier there, which is the last couple of weeks of the year. I think especially when I was in the Southern Hemisphere and actually finishing up the academic year, but even in the Northern Hemisphere here, it's winter, it's cold, you know, people's energy naturally shifts. Like I read something the other day, I can't remember what it was, so don't quote me on it, but it was like when winter hits, we actually need an extra hour or 2 hours of sleep. So our need for sleep increases. It's like this biological shift that happens. So it is really hard for us to keep the same energy at the end of the year that we would be having at the start of the year, you know, in summer or whatever it might be. So for very different reasons, we might be experiencing some massive struggles at this point in time of the academic year. If that's the case, then I get it, because I'm not somebody that's out of the classroom. I'm in the classroom right alongside you at the moment. Don't forget, I work at an alternative provision for students who have really complex needs that manifest in incredibly challenging behaviour. So I'm not speaking to you from an office when I talk about this stuff in this episode. I'm not speaking from the experience I had 5 years ago. I just don't share too much of my life inside of school because I like to keep all of that separate. But I'm there alongside you. I completely understand the struggles. I still have those struggles. My staff still have those struggles. But it's about doing what we can to start to mitigate that and to try to give ourselves as much of a calm ending as possible and our young people. So that's what this episode's all about, right? And I think it's very timely because we've got a couple of weeks left, and I know that that can be a challenge leading up to the winter holidays, Christmas holidays, the summer holidays, whatever you want to call them, the holidays that happen around New Year's. What I was also thinking this morning as I was having a shower, this is where I do my best thinking at the moment because every other facet of my life is just bonkers. As I was in the shower this morning, I was thinking, okay, I get it now. I'm doing this podcast episode about the end of the year, and I was thinking about every single leader that has ever said to myself and our staff group, don't watch a movie, don't do any fun activities, you need to keep the learning till the very last day, you need to be able to, you know, get them to be settled in class and give them work that's going to be meaningful until the very last second they need to be working. Have you ever heard that before? And I'm sure you have. Like, a lot of leaders take this stance. And before, I really pushed against it. I was like, oh, bloody hell, like, you know, give us an opportunity. We've just had a massive year. Give us an opportunity to just relax with our young people. No one's going to be doing anything anyway. No one's going to be wanting to sit there and write an essay. They're not going to be wanting to do a massive maths exam or whatever you're doing with your young people. No one's going to be wanting to do that. So it's about, and I completely now understand the sentiment of what these leaders are trying to do, because the behaviors do become really, they spiral, they become really extra challenging. And when leaders are saying this, I don't think they're necessarily coming from a bad place, although, you know, sometimes it's a little bit iffy, but I'm not going to go into anything too controversial on the podcast, but I'll speak about any particular leaders. But what I was thinking about in the shower, just circling back to that, is that maybe it's just that they want the same things for their school and their teachers and their students that I'm going to talk about in the podcast today. But I don't require you to chuck out all the fun activities. I'm not requiring you to sit there and, you know, write the essay. I'm not going to be getting you to do all of that hard work at the end of the year with your young people, but we can have the same results because it's not about the work you're doing necessarily. It's about all of the things that you consistently keep in your lessons around those young people. So do the fun thing, but let's do it in a strategic way that's going to help us at the end of the year rather than hinder all of those behaviors that we're going to be seeing. So first, I want to get into why the behaviors get a bit more challenging at the end of the year. There's a few reasons it could be. I don't want to spend too long on this episode banging on about it. I just want to get to like the nitty-gritty of what to do. But the reason why it might go a bit awry at the end of the year, it's a bit of an excite. Obviously, it's a really exciting time. Some of them are excited. Some of them are just done. And it's the same thing for us. Like, we're bloody tired. We might take our foot off the accelerator. We're at the end of our tether. We're feeling just burnt out. And when we get to the end of the year, we're like, okay, you know how when you get to the holidays, sometimes you just get really sick all of a sudden because you haven't allowed your body to rest. And all of a sudden your immune system's like, okay, now I can get that horrific cold that's going to last the whole 2 weeks of the holidays. It's the same kind of thing. I feel like we get to a certain point in the year and our body just starts to give up. And we are just, I don't think it's about us being lazy. I don't think it's about us just giving up. I think we physically get to a point where we just can't cope anymore and we hit that wall and everything starts to slip and we start to just relax into the holidays in a way. So I don't think that it's necessarily us making a conscious decision. I think we're just bloody burnt out by this point of the year. Another reason things might start to get a little bit more challenging at this time of the year, it can be exciting for some young people, but it can also be a massive source of anxiety for other young people. And we see this at the just before the holidays, no matter what time of the year it is, where for some students, the holidays might represent laying in the morning. They might be playing PlayStation a little bit more. They might be getting some treats, you know, like throughout the day. Like I remember when I was a kid, like, you know, having sleepovers with my cousins during the holidays and we just play Mario Kart. And I've got really fond memories of that time. Some students might, that might represent a time where they don't have access to food, where they're with the caregivers that might be making them feel frightened, where they don't have a safe haven, which is school for them. They might not be able to access food in the same way or warmth in the same way. So that could potentially be causing them great amounts of anxiety. And we need to really hold space for that, especially at Christmas time, because the way that we are in our Western society is that schools are very Christmas centered, where we live in these multicultural societies where a lot of our young people actually celebrate different things like Hanukkah and Kwanzaa. Like they're all around the same time of year for our young people. So it might be that they're also kind of switching off to the idea of the Christmas celebrations. It might represent something different to them. So you just don't know what's going on for our young people. That's the other reason why things might be going a little bit south at this time of year. So what we can do to mitigate that is just holding space for those young people, really understanding that not everybody is going into a holidays full of excitement and warmth and festivities. In fact, it might be the complete opposite for them. So just holding space for that. What then compounds that and then exacerbates all of the other behaviors that we might be seeing is that obviously we start to take our foot off the accelerator and we're tired and all of those things, but that might just lead to us doing things that are outside of our normal routine. And you know, we might be doing the Christmas activities, we might be doing the winter activities or whatever we're doing in our classrooms at the time, but that is all stuff. They might be going on school trips. They might like all of these things, right, leading up to the holidays. But because those things are outside of our usual routine, it can cause a lot of chaos for students who really rely on those things for felt safety. If felt safety from all of those things that we usually do, like we usually have our starter activity, we usually have, you know, a seating plan. We usually, the things that we usually have every single lesson, if those things go out the window and their felt safety goes down, the behavior then is going to go up. And all of those things that I just discussed, they create a bit of a perfect storm where young people are like, okay, we're done for the year. There's no routines anymore. Things are out the window. We're not learning anyway. We're just going to run around the school. And that's why leaders end up saying, keep things happening in your classroom that is related to the learning, because those young people, they then are so frustrated. They run to their teacher and they say, oh, but we're not learning anyway. What I want to make sure you know is that I'm not going to be a buzzkill and say that you need to be foot to the floor with the learning. What I will say is that you need to be very consistent with the expectations you have and the routines, even when you're doing something more relaxed, which you can do at this time of year. I think we should be doing that at this time of year. I think we should be watching the movie with them. I think we should be, you know, doing a nice activity, like whatever it might be, some activities around gratitude or whatever you do in your classroom at this time of year, right? But as long as you keep the really consistent routines and as long as you keep those expectations really high, like you always would do. So what does this actually look like in practice? It just means doing what you always do. If you're planning to watch a movie with your class, if you want to put Elf on in the background while they do some coloring in or whatever it is you do in your setting, whatever the age of the student is, it just depends, obviously. I'm not going to get my 18-year-olds to do coloring in and watch Elf, by the way. But if you're planning to do something like that, just be sure to do what you would always do. So if you have a starter activity, usually to start the lesson, to get them in, to get them settled, to have that first 5 minutes of engaging work, to get them putting pen to paper, keep doing that starter activity, relate it to the movie in some way, make sure that the work around that movie is something that kind of sends messages to the young people that you're not just going to chuck a movie on and let them put their feet up and run around the room and run out of the classroom. So having that starter activity planned. If you have a seating plan, usually keep it at least at the start to settle them. If you want them to work in different groups for a different fun activity, if you want them to kind of move onto the floor or do a party that you've planned, or, you know, whatever you're doing that's a little bit more relaxed in that lesson, get them to go into their seating plan that you usually would have in that lesson. Keep that every single lesson. Looking back on the episode with the three E's for a calm and settled start to the lesson, go back to that. So if you haven't watched, lucky you're not watching this podcast, because I'll tell you what, when I record this, I am looking like a haggard woman. But always still follow those three E's for a calm and settled start to the lesson. Really still focus on that every single lesson you have. And this is just a way of us living and breathing the expectations that we have, no matter what time of the year it is, no matter whether it's the start of the year or the end of the year. It's something that we need to be keeping really consistent, because all of those three E's are a way of mitigating some of the challenges we might have. Those lower level behaviors that will kind of still stamp them out, all of those little spot fires or all the blazes, hopefully that will keep things just a little bit more at bay. And I think even if we can keep it contained, a lot of fire metaphors today, but as long as we can keep that as contained as we can, as consistent as we can, then we can do the activities we want to do. So environment, keeping our environment settled, keeping things neat, still having the resources ready. I don't care if you're doing a movie, have something there for them to actually look at, to engage in, to do. Have a plan B. If a young person goes, but I still, why are we doing this movie? Like, why are we watching a movie? This is school, you know, like, why can't I do something? Like, why aren't you teaching me? Why aren't I learning? And young people can say this sometimes, for whatever reason. I think there's a multitude of reasons why they could be saying this, and there's no one correct answer for it. And I'd have to know the particular situation and that young person. Everything is so nuanced. But if a young person is sitting there and they are, you know, really causing a bit of havoc in the class because they want to be learning rather than watching the movie, have something there for them, have a backup there for them. No worries, Jeff. Like, I completely appreciate that. I really wanted to have a bit more of a relaxed lesson because that's like the kind of things that people were asking for. It's the end of the year. We really deserve a bit of a break. We deserve to celebrate together. I really wanted to do something nice with the class. But I knew that someone might say this. So I do have something there for you. So, you know, how about we come over here? I'll explain what you can do. You can do this piece of writing for me. You know, how about you write me a little story based on this? Or here's a prompt, or here's, so just giving them something, having something there as a backup. So you've always got something there in the case that something like that happens, or if for some reason they're not working in the class really well and you've got a, whatever your school does, maybe they work separately with the learning assistant or whatever it might be, always have something there planned. So you're not scrambling to go, oh crap, okay, what can I get for this young person to do if they're working out of the classroom or they want something else to do in the classroom? So just keeping that engagement there as much as possible, having those resources ready. The energy, you can be excited, you can be heightened, you can be all the things leading up to the holidays, you can be buzzing, running around, but try to contain it, because remember, the energy that you have, that's the expectation you're setting. So if you walk into the classroom going, hell yeah, everyone, like, oh my God, we're watching Elf, oh my God, like, this is so exciting. I don't know what kind of teacher you think I am after saying that, but that's not me. That is the expectation you're setting for your young people. If you're bouncing up and down going, we're watching Elf today, like clapping and, you know, running around and flipping around the room, you are inviting your students to match that energy. And that's totally fine if that's the energy you want from your students. But if you want a vibe in your classroom that is more settled, that's more calm, that's not what you want to be doing. You want to be taking those deep breaths still. You want to be slow. You want to be pacing your movements. You want to be really strategic about the way that you're using your tone, your volume, and all of those things to make sure that you're setting the expectation for your young people. The third E is engagement. So we've got environment, energy, and then engagement. I probably touched on this in environment, to be honest, but in engagement, you can do things that aren't as academic, but just one example is just think, are all students going to want to do your Christmas activities? If they don't celebrate Christmas, why are you giving them a Christmas tree to decorate? If they aren't looking forward to the holidays with excitement, why are you giving them a task where they're going to be writing a letter to Santa, or where they're going to be doing a gift list of what they want to get for Christmas, or what do you think is going to happen with young people who don't celebrate Christmas or aren't going to be getting presents or know that home isn't a safe place, or, you know, they know that their Christmas present is maybe just getting fed that day or whatever it might be. This can disengage them, but it can also be really dysregulating for some young people. I'm not saying that you can't do Christmas activities if that's appropriate in your setting. What I'm saying is you need to expect that there are going to be some students who potentially see Christmas very differently than you see Christmas if you celebrate Christmas. So and by the way, you can replace the word Christmas with whatever you see the holidays as. I'm just using that as an example. What could you engage your young people with? What will engage them? What will keep them settled? And that's not necessarily something Christmas related. So just be really conscious of that. It's just about asking ourselves before we go into the lesson, is this going to engage them? Is this going to settle them? Is this going to be something they want to do? Or am I just doing this because, I don't know, I think it'd be a fun activity for myself. Like, really be conscious about what we're doing. Be critical about what we're doing. And make sure it's something that follows those three E's if we want to be really helping ourselves, really just about helping ourselves get to the end as well, isn't it? Obviously, we want our classes to be calm and our young people to have good experiences. But it's a bit of survival mode at the end of the year too. So don't make it harder for yourself by, you know, having a classroom that's in disarray, not having resources ready, being way overexcited or acting stressed. Like, the energy can be really stressful at the end of the year. So again, if you're acting stressed and you're acting really heightened and dysregulated, that's what you're inviting for the rest of your class as well. So environment, energy, and engagement. So yes, you can absolutely do the fun things with your class. You can absolutely do those things that are a really nice investment in the relationship you have with your students if you're in the middle of the academic year. You can absolutely do the things that, you know, will give a really nice end with your class or classes, but just be mindful of the things that you can still control to mitigate some of those disruptions and those challenges. Remember as well that I'm not your head teacher or your principal, so please just still follow the guidance of your leaders, because I don't want to get you in trouble. I'm not giving you permission necessarily to go into your class now and watch movies if that is totally against what your school wants you to do. I am just giving you examples of how you can do the festive things, do the wintry things, do the summery things, whatever you're doing at this time of year, but also maintain that, I don't want to use the word control ever, but it is a sense of control you have over the space and yourself. Remember, we don't control our students, you know, no one can control another human being, and nor should we. That's stressful to even think of, but it's about having that control over the space. Okay, everybody, I will see you next week at the same time. And I hope that when we do chat next, that you've been able to implement some of these things and you feel like you can do the things you want to do, but still don't have to do like the uphill battle with the really challenging behaviors. So remember, just maintain those real bread and butter things that you do in your classroom and have fun and enjoy your time with your young people and look forward to the holidays, and you deserve them. But I will see you next week, and take care. Bye for now.